Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Hello and welcome to podcast episode number 35. Today we're going to be talking to Frank Maselli, president of the Frank Maselli Company. He's an author, keynote speaker, coach, and consultant. What we're going to talk to Frank about today with Kirk Lowe is we're going to talk about this letter that Frank wrote and how when you create amazing content that can really get legs and become very broadly applicable outside of the target market that you were trying to talk to specifically. So Frank, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, we are covering a massive part of the East Coast of the United States. You said you're in Raleigh, North Carolina?
Yes, it's gorgeous.
I'm sure it is. I've been to Raleigh, and I absolutely love it. Kirk's up there in Toronto, and I'm in Kalamazoo, Michigan. So, Frank, if you don't mind, I'm going to tell everybody where they can find this letter. And then if you wouldn't mind, just take a second and read it for us so that people can hear what voice we're going to be referring to. So everybody, you need to follow Frank on LinkedIn, and if you connect with him, you can download this letter. We're also going to have it in the show notes. The show notes is called A Letter from an Advisor to a Wholesaler. Frank, if you could take it away and read the letter, that'd be great.
Can I just give a little context?
Oh, yeah, sure.
So when I first met Frank, it was through this letter, and this letter really intrigued me because I loved the title of it, and I thought, well, this is going to be interesting. The next thing I noticed was this thing had traveled really far. Like I'll tell you how far this traveled on LinkedIn. 1,759 likes. This is LinkedIn, right? You don't get likes for, you know, like Facebook and LinkedIn, right?
No. So this is just LinkedIn.
That'd be like 20,000 likes on Facebook if it converted. I'm just kidding. Anyway, 182 comments. Just think of how many times you've done anything on LinkedIn and gotten, you know, two or three comments, and you're like, wow, that's great. 182 comments, 472 shares. I don't even know what the views are on this, Frank, because you'd have to tell us from your notes, but I bet it's up in the 20,000 range.
Oh, yeah. It's just gone crazy, and I never really anticipated that kind of a reaction, frankly. I mostly write stuff on LinkedIn for my own edification more than anything, but this sort of hit a chord with a lot of folks, I think.
So let's just jump in. If you can read it, that'd be brilliant. Thank you.
Sure. And I'll just use my regular voice instead of my British accent. So this is very straightforward. All right, so here we go. Dear Wholesaler, okay, so you want to meet me. You and your internal have been asking for an appointment to, quote, sit down and learn about my business, unquote. That sounds great, but let's cut the BS. We both know what's really going to happen. You're going to ask a few basic questions and then erupt into a product pitch about your annuity, your mutual fund, ETF, money manager, alternative strategy, REIT, MLP, whatever the hell you have that's going to be the solution to my problem. So here's the thing, and I say this with love. I don't care about your product. I mean, I really don't care. Not about your fund's 9-star track record, your annuities, living, death, income, benefit, your alternatives, inverse, non-correlation. Not a single part of the story you're dying to tell me. I swear I did not wake up this morning begging, please, dear Lord, bring me more products. I'm actually drowning in product. I got products coming at the yin-yang. I've got about a billion more products than I could ever learn or would ever use. What I need, and I'm being totally honest here, are more clients. Not many, just a handful of decent ones. I really need some new people to talk to, some new faces and relationships to explore. My business is okay. My assets have grown, but that's been mostly due to a bull market, not because I brought in many new clients. I get an occasional referral from some of my people, and that's great, but it's very infrequent and not enough to matter. What I really need from you is help building and strengthening my business. Now, you might believe that I should be able to do this on my own, and I wouldn't blame you for thinking that. But the truth is that I haven't prospected in about 10 years. All those muscles have atrophied. The techniques I used in the past seem so archaic and salesy now that I just don't feel comfortable doing that anymore. I need some new ideas that work with modern clients. something that makes me feel good when I do it and not like some salesperson, because I'm really not. I just need some help and guidance to get started growing again. Can you do that? Do you have any skills in that area? Do you truly know what it takes to grow a practice today? Do you have any modern strategies, tactics, ideas, campaigns, scripts, books, audios, anything that might help me do the thing that I most need to do? Or maybe do you know someone who does? If you can't help me yourself, no problem. I totally understand. You get paid to wholesale your product, and you probably get as little skill training as I do. But maybe you can put me in touch with someone who knows how to help me grow. Maybe you can bring in someone or put me on the phone with a person who does know what to do and who can give me some new ideas to try. Why should you help me? What's in it for you? Well, if you can truly add some value to my world beyond product, then here's what will happen. You can come in anytime. You won't even need to call in advance because I will be thrilled to see you. You won't need to buy everyone lunch or take me to a ball game. You can keep your Amex card in your pocket. We will sit down and talk honestly about my business and how your programs fit into my world. I will invest the time to learn your story. You will occupy a preferred position in my world, and I'll take your call before anyone else's. I will use your programs whenever and wherever it's appropriate for my clients. You will have earned my trust and business. We will become partners, maybe even friends. I will stick with you when you're not the top performer or when the hottest story anymore. I will talk to other advisors about you and tell them how you helped me. I will tell my manager how we need to have you in to talk to the office. I will even tell your manager what an amazing wholesaler you are so he stops traveling with you. When your 2 o'clock meeting cancels on you at the last minute, you can hang out in my conference room and make calls or just relax. You will become part of our family, and we will grow together. Our bond will not be broken by some new kid who wants to sit down and learn about my business because you helped me build my business. So if you want to wholesale to me, please give this some thought. We are in this boat together, this crazy profession we both love. If we're able to team up in some meaningful way, great things can happen. So let's both grab an oar and start rowing. It's a tough business, and it's likely to get even harder. Both of us may be able to survive on our own, but together we have the chance to hit the ball out of the park, help a lot of clients, and have some fun doing it. Thank you.
I love the letter, man. That's freaking awesome.
Well, it's different.
Well, so let's talk about how, one, again.
Seriously, I got to stop for
okay.
a second.
What are you stopping for?
Is there anybody that's debating why we got Frank Maselli on the call today?
I don't think so after that.
Frank, that was just beautiful, man. Absolutely beautiful.
All from the heart,
we proved so many points. There's so many advisors, I'm sure, listening to this, and managers and wholesalers just like wonderfully emotionally engaged right now in how beautifully you and eloquently you put how what this industry is really all about. So thank you.
Well, thank you. That's very kind of you to say that.
So let's break this letter down. Okay, so this is there's a lot of things here, but Frank, I also want to you pose a very wonderful question. And I know that a lot of financial services professionals, whether they're wholesalers or whether they're just advisors, they want to know how to get in front of new clients. So how do you use something like this? You're basically shaking the wholesalers back and forth and saying, okay, guys, you have to change the way that you're providing value to the financial advisors. Let's walk through that. Do you mind talking a little bit about how you do that and how this letter has opened up some of those doors to maybe talk to some more wholesalers and having the opportunity to say, hey, guys, you need to fundamentally change the way that you are providing help?
Sure. And that obviously was my goal here. I think the entire financial industry and wholesalers in particular are in a transition phase. I mean, we're in a major evolutionary phase right
mm-hmm,
now.
Mm-hmm.
So the upshot of this is that I used the letter to kind of create some interest and to, you know, just to see if there was someone out there who kind of responded to this thought, and the response was overwhelming. It would shock the heck out of me. But I've since created a training program, an entire training program for wholesalers, an advanced training process for wholesalers called survival school. Because, you know, we really are in trouble.
Yeah.
And I don't know if anybody understands this, anybody outside the wholesaling world. And I have, you know, to be honest, I have gotten some pushback from wholesalers who said, no, we're not in trouble. We can keep doing what we're doing. And I'm thinking, oh, gosh, you know, when the meteor struck, the dinosaurs probably looked up and half of them said, oh, that's nothing, no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some of them said, uh-oh, wait, trouble. So, look, it's an evolution. And what I've tried to do and what I'm doing is now giving the wholesalers the skills they need to make it through this, you know, this post-meteoric environment.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think we're going to lose 50% of the wholesalers in the next 5 years.
Wow.
And I hope I'm wrong about that, but I don't think so.
So we're all in financial services in this firestorm, right? The meteor screaming down. But one of the things I really like about the letter, and I said this to you before we started recording today, is I wish clients wrote the same sort of letter to their financial advisors, because the same mistakes that wholesalers make are a lot of the same mistakes that financial advisors make with their clients. They're so product focused. You know, they're not there to help them live a better life. They're there to do something very, very small. And when you change the relationship, and Frank, that's what I'm hearing from your letter, loud and clear, change the relationship. So tell us a little bit, without obviously sharing too much, but if you don't mind, tell us a little bit about how you're teaching wholesalers through your school, how to change that relationship.
Yeah. You're asking great questions. And just to back up a step, you know, the advisors, I honestly believe, and I assume you do too, I'm sure you do, that advisors do want to help clients succeed, and they do want to, you know, give the clients what they need. But the truth of the matter is they don't really know how. Advisors are so immersed in the process of, you know, managing the money, and this is what we train on, and we get a tremendous amount of product training. And we're sort of left, advisors, that is, are left to their own natural human relationship skills.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them have tremendous skills and are very good at this naturally, but very few advisors and zero wholesalers get training in relationships and understanding that. So the way I try to help the wholesalers specifically is to say to them, first, you've got to understand the world we're in. Let's stop looking at this in the past, and let's forget the past. The whole selling profession is different. It's got to change. And here are the skills you need. And then we go through a listing of, and not just a listing, but an explanation of how to do these things. Okay. How do you work with advisors? How do you get in to see difficult advisors who are very busy? How do you bond to an advisor in a more meaningful way? How do you bring value to an advisor's practice? One of the advantages I have is that I was both an advisor and a senior branch manager. I managed a very large complex for a major wirehouse here in the States. And so I've seen the advisor world, and I've been on the wholesaling side.
Okay.
That's kind of a rare combination. So bringing the advisor experience to the wholesaling world, I can kind of tell you what advisors want from wholesalers, and that's what we try to deliver at the school. And then the best part is that we give the wholesalers specific programs that they can actually use with advisors. I've created a whole menu, a whole platform of value-added programs. And some of them are small that can be delivered in, you know, 20 minutes. Some of them are multi-meeting kinds of value where you help an advisor over a multi-month period of time. Most of them cost nothing to implement. But we give the wholesalers at Survival School specific weapons that they can go out and actually use, and we license them to use those things for free. So it's pretty powerful.
Yeah. Kirk, what are you thinking about all of this?
I'm thinking that you're doing the way you're going about making a difference through helping the wholesalers is a really interesting angle. And for a long time, I've thought there's so many I've worked with a number of IMOs, but having been in the business as an advisor and working for an advisor and as an advisor, I understand, you know, the relationship. And we were always begging for the same thing. Don't give me a mug with your name on it. Give me something. Give me a mug I can hand out to a client that
right.
gets them interested in what we're doing or reminds them of how, you know, what difference we make in their life, that kind of thing. Anyway, I mean, I really want to learn more about your thoughts on the mindset of marketing, like to go back to, you know, what this letter did for your business, what it did for you, what it did for people around you, because I think there's opportunities that it, like the mindset that advisors have on how they market, they would never get to a place where they understood the possibilities of a letter like you wrote. So I'd like to explore the mindset, if you will, maybe give a little some thoughts on what you think the mindset is for an advisor to go out and be successful in this new marketing age, in this new age of just how financial planning is unfolding.
That is a very, very smart question. And frankly, it's actually even beyond some of the thinking that I had. I didn't really connect those dots the way you did until you mentioned it. But basically, all I did with this letter was to tap into an emotional vein that people were feeling, but maybe couldn't express. Maybe they didn't know how to ask the questions or, you know, to have that conversation. An advisor can actually translate some of this process. Okay, not necessarily the content of the letter in any way, but the process of saying, okay, let me understand what clients really want from me, and let me deliver that in an interesting, clever kind of way that differentiates me in my marketplace. Differentiation from an advisor standpoint, okay, when the public thinks of financial advising, they see this giant ocean of confusion, and they really don't know what makes an advisor special or different. They hear the same stories from every advisor. This is what we do. This is how we manage money. You know, we listen very carefully, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's like this, you know, somebody wrote this boilerplate script 10 years ago and we're all using the
same absolutely.
Thing. So for an advisor to differentiate themselves and to deliver some sort of content or value in an interesting, intriguing, you know, unique sort of way, especially on the web, because – you know, the entire next generation of clients is avoiding us. Okay, and it's the statistics on this are actually quite alarming. There are millions of clients out there who are not using the internet, but the future is clearly web based. I mean, you understand this more than anyone. So, for an advisor to maybe deliver some of this content to differentiate themselves, to be unique, to stand out in their marketplace, I think this is a potential goldmine, and it's virtually untapped as far as I can tell. Nobody's doing it.
Well, I want to go back to the essence of the letter, because in our experience, and we were just talking about this in a couple of other podcasts recently, Kirk and I with a couple of guests, is when you are saying something that reduces that sea of sameness, right? Where everybody's saying the same thing. When you're bringing something fundamentally unique and different, that's one thing. But Frank, what you have to do and what you did successfully is you took that and you created something that spoke to a specific group of people and really communicated effectively to them. That's the beauty of this letter, as far as I'm concerned. And advisors who I know who have done the same sort of stuff, like taken their heart kind of out of their chest and got out of their head and put their heart on their sleeve and said, hey, this is who I am and this is what I want to do. It changes the game. Is that your experience?
Yeah, absolutely. You couldn't say it better. I think the power of if there is any power in what I did, and if there is a lesson for advisors here, it would be to really understand who you're talking to. I think the only reason, maybe the only reason this letter really resonated with folks was that they clearly they read it and they said, okay, this guy gets both of us. He understands the wholesaling world and he understands the advisor world. So I think from an advisor perspective, you could duplicate an experience like this, but it's going to take some understanding on your part. I mean, I could envision an advisor reaching out, for example, to a target market. And when I say target market, it's funny because I ask advisors, do you target market? They all say, oh, yeah, we target. I say, great. Who's your target? They go, retirees.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. You know, just say mammals.
Yeah.
You know,
it's ridiculous. Oh, yeah.
So if you were interested as an advisor in penetrating a target market, and that could be a geographic or a professional target in some way, immerse yourself in that target. Mm-hmm. Understand what these people, you know, feel every day. Understand the pressures they go through. Read their magazines. Go to their conventions. And, you know, become part of that world. And then something amazing happens, which is, sort of happened to me a little bit after this letter, is people reach out to you.
Yeah. Isn't that great?
You become their, you know, their go-to advisor. So yeah. It can be a lot of fun. It really can.
So Kirk, I want you to jump into the advisor blueprint in just a second, because I think Frank just absolutely highlighted all of those steps. But before we do that, Frank, one of the things that we're doing for advisors is very similar to what you're doing in the wholesaling community. We've created a program called 270 Days to a Perfect Practice, and we have a section in there that's all about exactly what you just said with niche marketing, right? So how do you find them? How do you learn them? How do you get their language down? You know, how do you start, you know, penetrating a network that you've never penetrated before? We actually have a program built all of that. I've done it with my advisors for many years. And once that happens, this world opens up, and it happens, that inbound stuff, right? When you start speaking the language, is what you did so well in the letter, to the audience that you're trying to speak to, again, which you did so well in the letter, all of a sudden people start calling you. But Kirk, I want you to break this down from our advisor blueprint perspective, because I think Frank just kind of outlined all of the steps, didn't he?
Absolutely. So we've created this blueprint to help advisors kind of step back and give them a framework for how they can move forward with their marketing and feel like they can accomplish and build momentum. I talk about momentum all the time, mm-hmm. Frank. Mm-hmm. Marketing should never be building something marketing that you can't build off of down the road, that's still not worth something in a year's time or 6 months or a month, whatever. So the blueprint, if you've never heard of it before, everybody is. Attract is the first thing. If you can't get new people and ideal people, targeted people, to come see your marketing, you're in big trouble. It's not, yeah. And they will come. It's build it and show them the way. The second step in the blueprint is to intrigue them. So once they come to, you know, experience you, your message has to resonate with them. So as you were talking about earlier, Frank, that most advisors have been using the same, you know, elevator speech, value proposition, all these things. They everybody thinks it's unique to them, but you sound like everybody else.
Yep.
I can't remember who said it, but swimming in the sea of sameness. a beautiful line. Anyhow, it may have been Peter Drucker or something like that. Anyway, so intrigue is really about establishing your brand. What is it that I do that's different and better and most meaningful to you, to the audience that I want to really engage and inspire? So that's the second thing. If you can't capture that, if you don't resonate with them, they're likely gone way quicker, if not right at that point. So you completely lost them. You probably won't get a referral in the first place if the people who are referring you don't think you're interesting and you're not going to captivate or intrigue those people. So that's the second step. The third step is you need to engage people. People need to be able to experience you, your passion, your conviction, your expertise, your knowledge and understanding of who they are as an audience or as a person or a professional. You need to be able to get them engaged quickly. Matt and I do podcasting to achieve two things. It achieves this third thing, and I'll get into the fourth, but people can quickly engage in who we are as human beings, as professionals, if we're smart, if we're fun, if we're too serious, if we're too, you know, odd or anything, right? They can experience us really quickly. You know, Kirk's the, you know, get down to business kind of guy, but likes to have a little bit of fun. And Matt is just inquisitive. You know, they can figure this stuff out pretty quick. So you have to engage them. So white papers, articles, posts, all kinds of opportunities to do things. There, audio, video. You always want to focus on stuff you can sustain, of course, because sure. You can't sustain it. It's not, oh, don't even call it marketing. Just call it wasting your time. The fourth thing, I'm a little bit tough on people sometimes. Reality's good.
That's good.
Yeah, the fourth thing is influence. So it's not a matter of, hey, they listen to my podcast, I'll just put 10 podcasts on there. I'll stop doing my podcast because those 10 should work. I'm just going to write one paper. I'm never going to write another one. those kinds of ideas. If you want to influence somebody, you got to keep hitting them with good stuff all the time. Doesn't mean you hit them as in trying to hurt them. You just keep providing value. And you're open to sharing your wisdom. You're open to sharing your passion, your conviction, all those things. And when you get attract, intrigue, engage, influence, and you can focus on building those, now you're on to something. Now you've got an opportunity to actually be successful with your marketing, not waste a ton of time pursuing stuff that doesn't work for you or you can't sustain. And that's the only way to do it.
And Frank,
a lot of people, embrace that, which is great.
And Frank, I think the interesting thing about this is you successfully hit three out of the four of these. And because you hit three in one letter, you are able to really start influencing people. And by seeing the other things that you've posted since this, because this letter came out a little while ago, but you attracted people, right? And the best thing about how, when you're speaking from the heart, like you did, in my opinion, is it became as viral really can get on LinkedIn, right? People start sharing it. All of a sudden, now you're intriguing people. Holy Moses, this has been shared X amount of times. And you really hit engage because we felt your passion. And now, because you hit those three, now Frank Maselli is going to be even more of an influencer than he was because you got so much good attention. And if our advisors could realize that following this, again, get out of your head and get to your heart and speak in the language in which people want to be spoken to and the medium in which they want to be spoken at, that's the difference. That's when everything freaking changes. Your wholesalers are on LinkedIn. Right. But if you were a financial advisor, you probably, unless you're hitting millennials, you probably want to exist exclusively on Facebook unless you're doing a lot of B2B stuff. B2C stuff, you print a letter like this and you put this out socially, it's going to gain legs. And so let's kind of wrap up the podcast.
Well, I want to give a reality check to that idea.
Okay.
To be honest, because we're experiencing this all the time with doing social for advisors, is there's a lot of advisors who hopefully are writing their letter to their clients right now. I'm going to make everybody an offer. If you send me, you email me your letter, don't call me asking me to help you write one because I'm not writing it. Actually, the price is $10,000. So you're not going to. So write it yourself. Send it to me and I will read it. And I will give you some thoughts on it. But do not think that writing this letter, what I don't want people to do is, okay, I got two friends on Facebook.
Yeah.
I got six people on LinkedIn. I'm going to tear the world up. You have to earn it. You mm-hmm. can't just show up, think you're going to write this crazy letter and the world is completely going to change. Mm-hmm. Frank, you've probably done a pretty decent job on.
You've got a great network. Yeah.
Right. Is that fair?
Yeah, I mean, I've tried. I'm not as good as I need to be, but I've tried.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is, you can do good stuff, but you got to have a foundation. You can't, yes. and you have to earn it. So, and you don't always know. Your letter might not be the thing that your audience cares the most about. So you have to just be building. So don't be thinking about trying to create this one incredible viral thing. It's not about duplicating what Frank did. It's about having the right mindset to give that a chance. And so I don't want everybody thinking I'm writing my letter, I'm going to knock it out of the park, I'm going to be the next Frank Maselli. By the way, do you give out some kind of award if somebody matches? You get some trophy? Frank Maselli.
They don't want to do that, believe me.
Yeah. So you got to put this in perspective. You got to start building your social. So I know way too many advisors who don't have enough social. Their audiences are way too small. It takes a lot to get, there's mechanisms to do it. But start building your marketing the right way. Do the right things and you'll have your wins. And they may take 24 months. I know somebody who wrote, I was talking to last week, who wrote for 8 years. 8 years. And now... Wow. They have a multi-million-dollar business. She says, I don't even need to do any marketing. Everything's word of mouth. Hmm. I still do write. Not as frequently as I used to. I keep it up. But my business makes millions of dollars a year because of how hard I work to build a reputation that is now it carries me to a degree and I supplement it. But you got to find, you got to, 8 years is a long time, but yeah. I'm for 17 and I'm still not anywhere near where that person is, because she was just vigilant about it. So you got to keep going. I'll stop talking.
Yeah. So long. Frank, what did you learn from this experience? How about we just take a really big step back, or a really step up? Let's take the 10,000 foot view of you looking back on this experience and what we've said today about the power and the impact of speaking from your heart. Tell us what you've learned.
That's a good question. I think I've learned two things. The first thing is the power of social media, which is unbelievable to me. I mean, I'm kind of impressed and stunned by just how awesome this is if you do something valuable and interesting. Okay. And I'm certainly not the be all end all of this, but this is an incredible experience. So the social media really does have legs. It's not a fad. This is, you know, the internet's not going away next month. This is something you have to embrace, and there's just no choice. So that's the first thing. The second thing I learned was it's not enough to be really good at what you do. Okay. And I know that's kind of that may sound controversial. Okay. Because we spend a tremendous amount of time perfecting our craft, becoming the best advisor we can possibly be, learning everything there is to know. I've certainly tried in my 35 years to become one of the best trainers, and I think I've achieved that. I mean, I've been very fortunate with that. I'm considered to be one of the better trainers and speakers in the financial industry, but that's not enough. And that's the sad part of the lesson. That's the toughest lesson I had to learn, was it's not enough to be great at what you do. You've got to be great at communicating what you do. You've got to get the word out to people. Otherwise, you could be the best advisor on the planet. I could be the greatest speaker in the world. And if I don't market myself intelligently and consistently, then you know what? It doesn't do you any good. So that's the toughest lesson, and I'm having to relearn that every single day. It's painful. It's painful because I just said, oh, I'm going to be the best. I want to be the best. They'll find me. No, there's a lot of other people out there. And the ones who are getting, you know, in my world, in speaker world, the pain is unbelievable, because the folks who get the biggest gigs, they get the six-figure checks, mm-hmm. are not the best speakers by a long shot. I mean, in fact, they're horrible in many cases. What they are is they're just out there, mm-hmm. and they're well-known and they're celebrities.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you have to do both. You got to be great, and then you got to let people know you're great.
Yeah.
So, two lessons, anyway.
Kirk, do you have any final thoughts here? Because that was a pretty good closing.
I remember we've talked about it a number of times on our podcast with this client on the West Coast, or sorry, the East Coast of U.S., who was exactly what Frank just described.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic financial advisors. Horrible at communicating their message. We fixed everything up, and they went from 5 referrals to 21.
Wow.
It's after, and they got all ideals, and they knocked it out of the park. And when I talked to them, they were just like, this was just, I had a feeling that we were really good at what we did. But I just knew that changing the message was just so important in our practice. And wow. I mean, they had a really, you know, clearly defined niche, you know, taking note, everybody great at their business first. Created, had a good niche, and then created their message and just knocked it out of the park.
Well, I mean, Kirk, what you just said is the second part of that lesson. Okay, you may be the best at what you can do. I just said you've got to tell the story better, but you know what? You might not be able to do that. In all honesty, marketing may not be your strength. So find someone who can help you, and you've done that. You've stepped into an advisor's world and said, hey, you're the best, and we're going to help you find that story and tell that story better. If you can't do it yourself, which many of them cannot, I would say most of them cannot, then they need you. They need some help.
Yeah, we had a story last week about a newer client, so it's too early to, you know, look at those numbers. And by the way, most advisors don't track numbers, so I was really grateful that that other company did and shared that with me. But another guy, he said, well, we started his podcast. He's doing it with Matt, doing really well. In fact, Matt said one of his podcasts was the best podcast he's ever done with a financial advisor, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. was great. And it was because this guy left the script. We don't do scripts, but like a mind map.
Sure.
And just went off on some stuff. But this guy was at a barbecue So website wasn't up yet. We had just finished his white paper and the podcast. He was just recording them, so they weren't official yet. Meets a guy at a barbecue. Guy says, "What do you do?" He gives him a, I'm not a normal financial advisor kind of a line. I can't remember what it is. What, my apologies. And then he says, "You should listen to my podcast." He said, "Wait a second, you have a podcast?" He's like, "Yeah, I have a podcast. It's called Beyond Conventional." It's like, "Oh my gosh, that's cool. Send me." He said, "Well, my people are just posting it next week. So in the meantime, I can send you my white paper." He said, "Why, you got a white paper?" He said, "What's your white paper?" Six myths on conventional financial planning, why it doesn't work, something like that. He's like, "Oh my God, send me that." So he sends it to him. Anyway, guy's got a couple $1 million. A week later, he's a client. And wow, he's telling me the story. And I'm thinking, it doesn't take that much, but you got to be putting it out there. I've got other people who sit there waiting for people to find them on social media instead of getting out to the world. But I love that this guy went out in the world. I love stories like this because when you implement the marketing and you do it right, you're going to have success. Sometimes you get lucky and it happens right away at a barbecue. You make money while you're eating a burger. It's a pretty good deal. Drinking a beer, right? And sometimes it takes 12 months. But you got to be in the game. You got to be doing the right thing. And that's a huge part. But closing notes, Frank, your letter just grabbed me for so many reasons. And I'm so thankful that you spent some time with us and shared it. And you reading that letter, my gosh, I can't wait to work with you more, to hear you speak and all those things, because you've got just a charisma, an honesty about how you share things. And I think more advisors could take a lot of lessons from how you even read your letter. Not just that you wrote it, but how you read it. Because that's how I wish financial advisors could be out in the world. And well, thank you. Compliance isn't keeping them from doing that.
Nope.
There's no excuses, really.
They're keeping themselves from doing it.
No, you're right. You're right. Compliance will never take the passion away from this business. You can be as passionate as you can. So that's wonderful.
Well, and the other lesson that I drew from this is you can't be the best kept secret in your area. And by writing great content, being available socially, and using a medium like the one we're using right now to get your thought leadership out can really, really change, just like the barbecue story, can really change how people look at you, how people think of you, how people will want to be attracted to you, because you are actually contributing to society instead of just being kind of a leech, which unfortunately our industry has been fighting against for many, many years. So giving away good stuff, speaking from your heart, and getting it out there really can make a world of difference. So Frank, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you, guys. This was great.
All right. We'll see you on the other side of the mic very soon.